All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a way back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, and we appreciate you suspects tuning in prompt, on time, and ready to go for the next 3 hours. Nick is here. I'm here. Barry is on the way to Oklahoma City. So with Barry out, Tyler Scott is blessing us.
What is up? What's going on, man?
What's up, fellas? What's going on?
How you guys doing?
All good in the neighborhood. Did a little zoo lights last night.
I saw that post on Instagram. How did that go?
First time ever. Took Taylor. Wanted to reward big sister for all of the tolerance she's shown in accepting her new little sister. So just me and daddy daughter, me and Tay. And first of all, I was shocked because they said it was a media event because the zoo lights doesn't start till Friday. I showed up and the line was literally 1,000 people.
So the city of Houston was there. It wasn't a media event.
I was like, well, I didn't know this was happening. So then I found out that I waited in the line for naught when the doors opened at 5:30 because our tickets were waiting in guest services that we were supposed to go claim. So I went and got them and then just let Taylor have a field day. And obviously for little kids, it's an awesome event. I mean, they just run around all over the place and check out all the lights and the music and the different things. And it was pretty cool.
I remember having a lack of creativity when I was like dating, you know, when I had my, you know, I was with my girlfriend and we would always go back. And I always felt like they really never evolved that lighting, that zoo lighting event. So I feel like for you, it made perfect sense. You were able to take Tay and she got to enjoy the lights. Was it a grueling situation or was it a fun situation?
Well, no, it was fun. It was fun, and she had a blast with it. But I think the highlight was unscripted. We were going from one set of light, you know, one area to another, and we passed by the giraffe area, which is supposed to be closed, obviously, at night. And one of the giraffes just decided to pop out and start walking towards us, and she just was. That was amazing.
Really?
Yeah, it was very cool.
She thought it
was,
so. She wasn't scared. She embraced the situation.
Yeah, but she was at first. I was like, because it was kind of dark, obviously, and I was like, "Tay, look, he's coming right at us." And she's like, "Daddy, a giraffe." I was like, "Yeah, that's so." She saw her first giraffe, so it was pretty cool.
Cool. Well, you had a more interesting night than I did. I didn't really do much, but try to get ready for this Vegas trip that I'm going to go on this week.
Yeah, explain to the people, because that ropes into our Way Back Wednesday theme.
Right, yeah. So Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz, the second fight, the rematch, they will be fighting this Saturday in Las Vegas. The Blitz, Booker T and company will also be there. Brad Gilmore, Jerry Bo will be there. We have a number of shows that are going to be there, so it's going to be cool. Another one of our Vegas trips, Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman are going to be there. But I'm going on the late flight. I thought I didn't have as much time to prepare as I did. I was kind of freaking out, and I kind of mentioned it in that email when I sent my Way Back Wednesday list.
It was like 1 a.m. I was like, what are you doing?
I had so much stuff to do, and this was all because I thought my flight was leaving at 7:40. And AJ sent me a text saying, look, is this flight okay? And I said, yeah, this is okay. But I was looking at their flight times, just assuming I would go on the same flight as them because I've done that quite a bit. Little did I know that I'm actually flying out of Hobby, not Bush, and not until 10:30 tonight. So I actually have some time, but I got a lot of it done. So it was kind of good that I thought that I was flying out at 7. So I didn't do much but stay at home.
Okay.
And kind of listen to the TV.
Listen to the TV.
Not watch, because I was preparing, packing, doing that kind of thing.
Okay.
But I was watching some games too.
So because of your excursions to Vegas again, you're frolicking. We have Songs About Fighting, pre-2009. Your list was in at 1 a.m. I got mine done this morning. Barry's on the road. We'll make one up for him. I told him he's going to get 8 Kenny Rogers songs.
Yeah, because he loves Kenny Rogers.
He does.
I don't know if he's going to get his own list in, but if not, we will produce.
No, he's driving. It's not going to happen. So, and Tyler, I'm sure you have no aspirations of wanting to do and even with your musical interests, and you're an aficionado.
Yeah, I don't really know too many songs about fighting.
I will say, I feel like you're more of a music aficionado in the rock category. Is that safe to say?
That's accurate.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so we're just getting started. We got plenty to talk about today on the show, and we always want you to participate. So as we always tell you, right off the top, the HRNP listener line is available, 713-780-3776.
Bunch to talk about, man.
Yeah, you can text that number. You can call that number as we will be monitoring the text lines today. And you can also tweet us at the producer Nick, at Tyler Drew Scott, at Pac-Man Joel.
What are you feeling today? What do you want to talk about the most?
I mean, there's a lot going on. So we're going to have to cover the fact that Myles Garrett had his appeal with the NFL today.
I saw that.
They don't know if the league will handle this like they did when they handed down the suspensions, if they'll handle the appeal process quickly, or they said it could take up to 2 weeks. So we can talk about that. We can talk about the fact there's a big football game tomorrow night at NRG between the Texans and the Colts. And dare I say, the loser is pretty much SOL. The winner probably wraps up the division, is going to the playoffs. So that's something that people are going to want to probably chime in on as well. Rockets have a big game going for 9 in a row tonight at the Mile High City to take on the Nugs, the rich, creamy Nuggets.
They actually have an interesting 3 games ahead of them.
Yeah.
Because it's a 2-game road trip.
Right.
And it's against the Nuggets, the Clippers, and then they're back home against the Mavericks. And that is, respectively, the number 3, 4, and 5 seeds in the Western Conference. All 3 teams, they should be looking to absolutely beat.
Yeah, and you know what? They can make a statement with this, and that's something else I want to get to at some point during the show, is the fact that the LeBron love is just over the top right now nationally again. And I think that, again, I'm coming to James Harden's defense in saying, I don't know that he should take a backseat to anyone right now with the way they've started the season, and he started the season, but that doesn't seem to be the case nationally. But you know, with the Rockets' schedule, the interesting thing to me is going to be, unless they run up against load management, it's going to be a great test for them to see an up-and-coming team in Denver, to see an established team that's basically been penciled in as one of the 2 teams that are going to be in the Western Conference Finals, and then a team that I went out and said before the Chris Paul trade was made for Westbrook, a team that would be better than the Rockets in 2 years, the Dallas Mavericks, with Doncic, Porzingis, and everything that they're building there with cap space enough to add a third superstar. So it's going to be an interesting trip for the Rockets and for Harden himself, who can still make another statement, because these are people are going to be paying attention to what happens.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's going to be able to score, I think. I think if you look back at what they were able to do against the Nuggets last season, you know, the Rockets kind of had their way, but it's a different landscape now. Russell Westbrook is on the lineup. Chris Paul is out. And, you know, I do remember you bringing up the Denver Nuggets going into last season as a team that was going to emerge as a competitive, contending team. And I actually disagreed with you, but it turned out they have a very likable team. Yep. And they have a very hungry team right now. And I think that makes for a very interesting matchup. But everything on paper to me indicates that the Rockets should win this game. It'll be interesting to see how the Denver Nuggets react with Russell Westbrook in the lineup. The
thing to me about Denver is just that they're missing a legit superstar. You know, I think Jamal Murray, and I've told you guys this over and over again, I think he's the best pure shooter up and coming in this league, not named Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. I think of the next generation, he's it. You know, they got a really, really good big man. They've got good pieces, but they don't have a Westbrook or a Harden or a LeBron or a guy of that magnitude. And I don't know if that's holding them back or if that's a good thing and it builds continuity. I just know that that's something to me that prevents me from putting them in the upper echelon of the league.
Yeah, and I mean, that's probably why they extended Murray, because they thought that, you know, he obviously could be something that could develop into something good. He's not getting those game checks now, but starting next year, he'll start getting those big game checks off of that $175 million extension that he got. Paul Millsap, believe it or not, you know, this load management thing, it really becomes more of a touchy subject when it's attached to a big star. And as you mentioned with the Denver Nuggets, they really don't have that big star. Mm-hmm. Paul Millsap is like on a contract year right now, basically, making $30 million in the last year of his contract. You know, maybe they can use that $30 million to get a bigger star. I don't know where you go with a 34-year-old Paul Millsap as he hits free agency. And he's also been a guy that's been attached to load management, but you don't really hear about it. Why? because he's not that star like a Russell Westbrook or a Kawhi or, you know, whatever these big names that might sit out for time and rest.
Well, and when you look at Denver's situation, Millsap is, it's one thing to say, because you're right, he's over the hill in terms of his abilities. But they anybody you talked to said, in the locker room, he's the guy that kept them all together. The young kids focused, all these different things. So for that and a lot of other reasons, they kept him around for one more year. But they also kept him around because they know, like you just said, after this year, if they prove that they have a lot of talent on this roster, maybe you will lure a guy that's going to leave a team and say, I want a fresh start with a good young roster. You know, look at the Clippers a year ago and say, hey, that's the kind of roster that I can join as a free agent and I can make better and I can be in a good situation. So we'll see how it plays out. Lots to get to on the show. Glad that Nick is sitting here to co-pilot. So we're going to take you all the way till 4 o'clock and we'd love to hear from you again. HRNP listener line 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Twin Peaks. I've been telling you about them for a long time. 5 area locations. And if you're looking to get out of the house and watch some sports, maybe you want to watch Texans football tomorrow night. Well, we're going to be there at Twin Peaks, I-10 in Kirkwood, as well as Charlie Palillo. So you can join us for the afternoon leading into the evening. Raheel's going to be here as well with Nick in Vegas to sit in with me. And then you can hang out and watch at the best place possible to watch Texans football, Twin Peaks. Because I've been telling you all the time, it's the made-from-scratch appetizers and main courses. It's the 29-degree draft beer. And I'm not lying because there's a thermostat readout and a temperature gauge right above the bar. And it tells you how cold all that beer is. And, of course, it's the beautiful Twin Peaks girls with all the screens and all the packages. So you can watch NBA on one channel. You can watch the Texans on the other channel. You can watch college basketball on a third channel, and it's all going to be right in front of you at your table with whatever screens are sitting in right there. And again, with 5 area locations, there's got to be a Twin Peaks near you. But I keep telling you about this, and I mean it when I say it, and you need to make sure that you hold me to it. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Nick's got hour number one way back Wednesday. Songs pre-2009 about fighting, altercations, etc. This was one I was going to take. You already took it. It's interesting. You picked the theme and you put your list in at the exact same time at 1 in the morning when I was sleeping. Okay, fine.
Well, I remember that I had to come up with something because I wasn't going to do 1958. Normally, I'm not the guy that shoots down ideas.
Well, Barry just did that because he wasn't going to be in and thought, well, I can poo-poo on the entire process.
Well, he probably could have got his list in done had we confirmed that during the show because it looked like he was working on one during the show. But 1958, I don't imagine would be something I would play for 3 hours.
I'm
on
with
ESPN.
And we wouldn't torture our listeners with anything like that. So let's be clear about that. Let's get into this because I turned on the ESPN family of shows this morning. And Stephen A., Mike Greenberg, you name it, the national pundits are all, they're all over LeBron. And I told you he was going to have an MVP season. He was going to take the league by storm and prove he still got it. Well, here's the thing. As much as I've been critical of James Harden when it's necessary, we've talked about his numbers to start a season. There's only a guy named Chamberlain that gets into the discussion when you talk about how great he's been offensively. Sure, he doesn't play defense. And if that's your argument to say why LeBron has a leg up on him, I'll listen to that part of it. But when you talk about the big three statistics of points, rebounds, and assists, and you look at the numbers and the astronomical proportions that we're talking about in terms of what Harden's putting up offensively, I don't know how you can't start and end the discussion with James Harden and say, LeBron would be right there.
When you score 36 points or 39 points or whatever it is, and it actually hurts your average, I mean, you're doing something. It's not all about scoring points in the game, obviously, but there's things that he does that is just absolutely unprecedented, and you just don't necessarily see it in the game too much. But I guess LeBron James being, he's obviously got the benefit of being LeBron James. He's got the benefit of being in Los Angeles. And he's got the benefit of, like you mentioned, a lot of the national pundits out there that believe he's up there. Your boy Giannis is not necessarily out of the discussion
either.
He's
not, Nick, but here's the thing. If you're James Harden, my question becomes, what else does he have to do? Because he lost to Steph, and the whole thing was the Warriors had a better record, okay? Then he lost to Russ, and the Rockets had a better record, but Russ did something that no one had done since Oscar Robertson, okay? He loses to Giannis last year. But yet he does things that haven't been done in 40 to 50 years and, again, puts him in the company of Wilt Chamberlain. And he doesn't get it there. And now you're going to tell me he's going to lose because LeBron's an all-time great? What's the criteria? It's mind-boggling to me right now that, and obviously it's not the most important thing because I'm going to get it and I get it and I deserve it, but I know it. People are going to say until he wins a championship and until he does in the playoffs, the MVP is a regular season award. And it's based on individual performance. And until we know if the team wins and losses and all these other things that factor in are or aren't a factor, just look at the pure numbers, analytics people, and tell me how LeBron is better than James Harden.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen A. Smith is real big
on LeBron.
Boy LeBron. But look, he has great numbers. What is it, 25 points per game, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, the guy's doing great. I mean, he's got a great field goal percentage. He's LeBron James, and he's always going to have that gravitational pull to a certain extent. But we talked about it before the show. To a certain extent, it's a take your turn league, and Barry has mentioned it on the show. You have too. I don't know if that's the case here, but I don't see how you give James Harden another MVP race because you do. One thing you are right about is there is a lot of people outside the city of Houston that don't necessarily like James Harden or don't necessarily like what he does right on the floor from both ends.
Right.
You know, we always talk about his defense, you know. His defense is probably better than Melo's, but it's not.
Well, was that saying something?
No, it's not. It's
right?
Not.
So that's what I'm saying. So, look, there's hatred out there for James Harden, his style, what he's done to kind of create this niche in terms of, you know, the step back, is it traveling? Is it not? People, you know, that are purists of the game think, you know, he's bending the rules and he's getting away with too much and all those other things. Look, credit the guy for being innovative enough to do the things that he does. Now, I don't think he's being innovative at this 1 foot step back crap. That can stop. But everything else that he's done, from the Euro step that he mastered a couple years ago to the step back that he's mastered to all the different ways that he has tweaked his game to take advantage of the rules, don't hate on him for that. Give him credit.
Yeah, and look, if you really think it's a travel, it's not something like it's not something where you saw a replay, it's completely egregious and they make the wrong call and then they go back and they correct it. No. This has been going on for quite some time and they still deem it a legal move. They still deem his style of play as something that's within the rules of NBA.
Having been through these meetings, and every year they put all the broadcasters through NBA ref training with all the refs in the room, and they would tell you the point of emphasis this year is, and then they would tell you, like, the high pick and roll. If the guy set the pick and he was moving or leaned in, they were going to say, this year the point of emphasis is we're going to call that. Okay? So if Harden truly was traveling, at some point, somewhere in the league, they would have sent the message to the league and the broadcast and everybody else going, be aware of this now. We're going to start calling that a travel.
And I'm sure James Harden gets that all the time. I'm sure the NBA informs him or the NBA informs the team and he learns through the team. Look, man, they're going to start calling this way. I'm sure he has these conversations with the referees on the court as well. He has these conversations all the time. And you know what? The referees might say something like, you know what? This hand checking, this particular defensive move, all this contact, we're not having it in this game. And he might ref the game that way. James Harden actually listens to that kind of feedback and adjusts his game accordingly, and he shows that success game in and game out. Now, if it's a situation where he's bending the rules and they know it and then they're able to stop it and he can't evolve or make any adjustments, then I can see why you would hate James Harden.
So it's legal this year. So that's why I'm saying. So this is why it's a legitimate discussion. Like, why is LeBron trumping James in terms of all the discussion nationally? I don't get it. And then my brother-in-law, Mike, and I were talking about it on the way to work. And I said, he brought up the interesting question that I posed to you guys, which is, if the two guys switch teams, if LeBron went to the Rockets and Harden went to the Lakers, is each team better, worse, or the same?
So hard to tell with Harden being a Rocket for that long, and you've never seen him be a starter on another team, really. I mean, he came straight from OKC, and he was an unbelievable sixth man, and he comes in, and he becomes an unbelievable starter. I don't know how that works, because I do believe you when you say, he is the million-dollar man, the multi-million-dollar man in this franchise. Will they treat him the same if he's a Laker? I would imagine. Will he have that same power? I don't know.
Here's my thing. I think it's a push in terms of him with the Lakers, because I think Anthony Davis is going to get his no matter what. So I think that he and Anthony Davis coexist. But do I think that the supporting cast around those two guys in L.A. would be better? No. Would Kuzma be better? No. Because we've seen how many guys have to stand around and watch when James does what he does to be effective. And so I think that the rest of the team in L.A. suffers. I honestly think the Rockets are a better team if LeBron James replaces James Harden with Russell Westbrook and the talent they have, because of the fact that LeBron focuses so much on getting everyone else involved. LeBron gets Danny Green his.
Do you think it's the same case now that Russell is on the roster, though? Like, I could see that maybe with him and, like, Chris Paul, but Russell is still a ball stopper.
No, but here's the thing. Because of the fact that LeBron will gladly let Westbrook control the ball and the tempo, but he still finishes and makes shots on the wing. And they don't play the same position, per se. Now, in the way the offense is running for the Lakers this year, he has the ball in his hands a lot.
Right.
But he's a guy that has been able to adapt. Whereas when we're looking at this Rockets team this year, the only guy adapting is Russell Westbrook. James hasn't changed a thing. So I think that LeBron would actually make the Rockets better, because not only could he coexist with Westbrook, which Harden's doing, but LeBron would make James Harden and Clint Capella and so many guys better, because he's so focused on making the whole team part of what's going on, whereas James is going to get his.
Yeah, I do agree. I feel like you're forced to play a certain way when you're with a guy like James Harden. I do agree with that. I think Russell Westbrook brings that to the table. I think your boy, but Carmelo Anthony kind of does that. That's the reason why I don't think he should be a point of emphasis on your offensive, a part of your offensive plan if he's on an NBA team. That wasn't necessarily the case in last night's game. We could talk about that a little bit later, but... Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why it's hard for me to answer that question. You ask it, and it's so hard for me to say that the Lakers would be better with James Harden, because I feel like all the other role players, maybe not Anthony Davis, like you mentioned, he's going to get his, but a lot of those other players they're going to be forced to change their game, and I don't know if it's going to adjust well. It might. I could be wrong. I just don't know if that will work.
337 says James Harden is the Drew Brees of the NBA. What does that mean? Because Drew Brees has won a title. Drew Brees has all the numbers and the longevity, but he's also won. I don't know the correlation there between the two. Harden hasn't won anything in the playoffs. Drew Brees, I believe, is a well-rounded quarterback. I think James is one-dimensional because people question his defense. I don't see the comparison.
I don't see it either. I don't know what he was saying. I just saw the text.
Yeah, so, all right. Well, we'll continue to we'll kick that around. If you guys want to get in on that, text us, tweet us as well, because we'll move on to some other topics. We can always double back to it at some point. But we're open from now until 4 o'clock. That'll be close of business today. So if you want to join us, please do. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more in the second half hour of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. True, hold up, wait up, shorty. Oh, was I getting my box up? What are you doing?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second half hour of The Usual Suspects starting right now. Barry's out, Nick's in. Appreciate Tyler keeping us on the air behind the glass as we roll through a Way Back Wednesday. Songs pre-2009 about fighting. Nick has hour one. I have hour number two. We've had listeners say, why don't you let us do hour number three? Well, you can make suggestions and we'll look at them. And in the meantime, if we come up with a better solution...
It just makes it more difficult for Tyler playing songs, so I'm just going to send him a list.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. So I want to make sure Tyler's happy. So,
and we'll go from there.
Chipper and happy, smiling the entire show.
P. Randizzle was about to get us on some fake news.
P. Randizzle got. And he almost got us, too.
He quote tweeted a fake Jeff Passan account saying, breaking that the commissioner Manfred has found evidence against the Yankees organization. about them, you know, stealing them signs electronically. Fake news.
And said that Brian Cashman, the Yankees announced that Brian Cashman will be stepping away until they get to the bottom of this. And I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute, because Rob Manfred was in Arlington yesterday as he toured the new Rangers ballpark. And after he spoke about that, they, of course, went right to the ongoing investigation of the Astros and other teams. And the one thing that I specifically heard him say was, it's now not about anybody else. It's not about the Red Sox. It's not about the Yankees, as they had first implied. It's all about the Astros from 2017 to 2019, and that is the sole focus of the investigation. So when I saw P. Randizzle quote tweet that, I was like, oh, well, did it change from yesterday to today? Well, it didn't. It's just that he got and he was looking at a fake account.
Yeah, it was a fake Jeff Passan account. Now, Jeff Passan is legit if you follow him on his real account, but the fake account is no bueno. But from everything that I've heard from the commissioner at that ballpark yesterday when he met with the media, everything tells me that he's being very thorough about the investigation. And so having some sort of result today would have been very surprising, or some sort of sanctions come down. If any type of sanction came down on the Astros today, I would have found that very, very surprising, considering how much of an emphasis he said that this investigation would be thorough.
I mean, look, they're not gonna come down with any kind of decision until they've done as much due diligence as they possibly can and all their homework and everything else. In the meantime, I think when you start thinking about the scope of punishment, and this is not the only thing that we're going to be talking about with scope and punishment today, because we're going to be talking about Myles Garrett, and there's a lot of this in the sports world these days. When you look at what's going on with the Astros, if you want to figure out how they can get off as easy as possible, then you would say it's probably $1 million to $2 million fine, and maybe you lose some draft picks. If you're the Astros at this point, based on everything we've heard and seen, and you always say, well, I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle, I think you probably wash your hands of it and say, I'll take that. I'm good. A couple draft picks and some money. Okay, cool. I'm good.
Yeah.
Because I think on the other side of this, and we kind of touched on this and brushed over it a couple days ago, on the tough side of this, A.J. Hinch could be suspended for some, most, or all of next season. If it turns out not only was it happening, but he was aware of it. Jeff Luhnow, same thing. When you're talking about, hey, trade deadline and this and that and the other thing, Jeff Luhnow has proven to be a Houston genius of sorts that they love everywhere people talk about how good he is at his job. Now take him out. And Taubman's already gone. And say, now Astros baseball organization, do your thing. Tell you what, if you're an Astros fan, the last thing you want to do is see those two masterminds of everything from the field to the front office be suspended.
I mean, that would be absolutely terrible, because Hinch is absolutely imperative to this roster. And he has such a voice in that front office, and he's so respected in that front office, that losing him would be just a really bad, bad situation for the Houston Astros. I think that if they change the rules, in my opinion, if MLB change, because the maximum, according to Jeff Passan, the maximum that they could be punished in terms of monetary, a monetary number is $2 million. Well, most teams will pay $2 million if they can get away with cheating and win a World Series. I think they need to up that number to the point where it really hurts the teams, and then maybe owners will send that down to the front office, to management and everybody else, say, hey, look, we're serious about not cheating, because I'm not paying this, I don't know, 10, 15, 20, 30 million, whatever it is that makes them hurt, because a $2 million fine doesn't.
No, it doesn't. And you can make that up with another ring night. We talked about that, because you got a ring out of the deal. But Tyler, you're a huge Astros fan, so you obviously have feelings on this too, so I'm interested. Don't you agree that if you can get off with just a $2 million fine and maybe some draft picks, you'll take that at this point?
Yeah. I mean, if you have the opportunity to not have your coach be suspended, you take it.
Well, that and the fact that it seems like there's just a lot going on here that seems there's legitimacy to a lot of these stories, to where, you know, I said yesterday, you turned the Astros into the asterisk, because now the 2017 World Series is always going to have an asterisk affiliated with it that's bigger than anything Barry Bonds has ever seen, because of the fact that they went from the darling franchise that with the Cinderella story that won a title to how much did the cheating help them win it?
I mean, where else will that $2 million go?
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The money and even the draft picks.
Reliever, something like that probably doesn't give you that many innings. It probably peters out at the end of the season.
And the draft picks, sure, they're important, and you build the farm system up because you can use them in trades and otherwise.
But you have 40 a year, it seems like.
And you also realize that you still have a core group that's as good as any team in baseball just to stay together, that it's not going to be as important as it is if you're rebuilding like one of those teams that lost 100 games. But with the ramifications being to where we're talking about, you know, key members of the organization, like you said, the manager and the general manager suspended as part of this. Now you're talking about the demise of a franchise. Because now, I did a sports map video on it on does this change Garrett Cole's thinking even more so about I'm going to wash my hands and stay away from this situation as part of what I do?
I think he should. I think he, as bitter as he was after the World Series, as bitter as he was, he knows how important Hinch was. He knows how important that he was to
and
that
Luno.
Team. He absolutely does.
So but here's what I'm saying. So for all intents and purposes, we thought Cole was going to go anyway, right? Because you're saying that with the way he was after the World Series, right?
Right.
Okay, but how does this affect everybody else? How does this affect when, like Tyler said, if they're looking at trying to bring in a reliever to start helping the bullpen a little bit more for next season? If I'm a reliever, do I really want to sign with this franchise?
No. I mean, it's going to impact a lot of players' decisions. I mean, a lot of people don't want to be a part of that at all. Now, if it's a player that's, I don't know, he's in a situation where perhaps he's won a World Series with another team and he's just trying to get paid and he's like, whatever, I'll get a multi-year deal. The first year is going to kind of suck and I'll deal with it. I could see you signing someone like that. But if anybody else that really wants to get paid and really wants to be a part of a winning team, that's absolutely going to factor in your decision. And so it's better for them to really, you know, for the Astros' sake, and I don't think it's going to take all offseason, it's better for them to come down with some sort of sanction now than later. At least that way the Astros can, you know how to approach the situation from a roster standpoint and what do they have to go through. Look, it's not the end of the world. It's a different sport, but Sean Payton got suspended, and he was able to make a return, and he's still respected in the NFL. They didn't win a Super Bowl that year, but at the same time, he's an X's and O's coach, and so people kind of moved on from it. It might be a situation like that if, in the event, they come out with a big sanction on AJ Hinch. We have to see. I will say this, though. Isn't it kind of hard to believe that AJ Hinch didn't know about it? If they were,
I really believe so. I mean,
how like is he
I
not said,
if there is legitimacy to the whole banging on the garbage can or the whistles or whatever the cat calls,
how
were,
does he not know?
As a manager, how do you not know?
I think the more unbelievable thing is, according to the real Jeff Passan,
yeah,
he said from the owners' meetings that Rob Manfred says he doesn't believe the sign stealing issues in the MLB extend beyond the Astros, and that he'll base whatever investigation
That's
or
bad.
Punishments on the investigations. Like, how do you not think that this goes on?
Other Everybody's teams. Doing it. I read an article this morning.
Teams.
Yeah.
Like, how I do think you... that does help the Astros, though, like, because maybe they don't investigate other teams and they get their punishment quicker. But at the same time, like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. How do you exactly what you're saying, Tyler? No, how do you discount two franchises that were already caught and reprimanded for doing the exact thing? The Red Sox and the Yankees with the Apple Watches and the Yes Network and the camera in center field and all these things. How can you just say, like, you're going to wash your hands of it because you fined them $250,000 and said, yeah, that they're not factoring in? Stop it. I read an article this morning that ex-players are saying Astros aren't the only team to do it. It's just how far are you willing to go to put analytics behind it? And how dumb are you if you're an executive with the Astros to put it in email form, which has a life of its own that you're never going to be able to scrub and erase, and send all your scouts to say, hey, be thinking about how do we log this? How do we catalog it? What are we looking for? How do we get the best angles in the dugout and in this? And then also, by the way, if you're going to do something like this, and this goes back to, like, if you have your girlfriend we said with the chick that's in politics that did the threesome and then was trying to scrub it, you better be damn sure straight that you're going to keep all these scouts around when you know that you sent an email like that asked them to basically research cheating. But the very next year, the Astros decided to clear house and they mass fired all of these scouts. You don't think they got the red ass and they're like, I'm waiting for the appropriate time. I'm going to sell these guys back out and I'm going to show them.
I had a question for you on that. Was fires like, he wasn't necessarily playing when all that, he noticed, like, how did he know about it? Obviously he was in the bullpen, right?
No, he was on the roster. He pitched during the regular season. He was kept off the playoff roster, I believe, in 17. But that doesn't stop him. That doesn't stop him from having capitalized. That didn't know what was going on all season long when he was pitching.
Like, what about the whole mentality? He's like, all right, I'm cheating, but if I get you to cheat too, then there's no way you're going to open your mouth, because now we're both in the bad. We're both in the wrong.
Sure.
And maybe that's the mentality that some of these...
You've seen the pictures on the internet with him with the pine tar in his glove. He pitched a no-hitter when he was with the Astros, by the way. You don't think that pine tar is illegal?
That's the reason why I have it. It's so weird to me, because normally that's the reason... Like, that's how cheaters and liars think. If I'm going to get somebody else involved in my dirty scheme, that makes you dirty too, doesn't it? Why would you talk? But it always happens.
You're an
accomplice,
right?
It always happens.
No matter what.
That's
why
there's
snitches. I appreciate you coming out like you're on the couch right now and showing us who you really are and the fact that you can talk about when you've gotten other people involved in your dirty business.
I'd never do that. I never get anybody involved.
I think you admitted it. You just told us how it goes.
Fake news, sir.
Okay. Well, you know what's not fake news? Show's going to continue to roll on. Still an hour number one, 3 hour show. You want to join us? Please do. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, or hit us up on Twitter. Back with more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back hour number one, Usual Suspects, kind of doing some house cleaning because we're covering a lot of ground, having a lot of fun, cut a lot of different topics early on hour one, and we can always check back on them. But when we opened up the discussion in comparing why the national love is for LeBron for MVP early on with Harden playing so well, we had the 337 area code on text message who had said the comparison with Breeze. I didn't get it. I stated why. He's won a championship and been an MVP of a Super Bowl. And he said basically because they were both offensive talents that no MVP love. And I looked at it, and he doesn't have an MVP. Harden does, right?
That makes more sense. I thought because I was tempted to think the same thing you did was, well, Drew Brees has got a ring and James Harden doesn't. So I didn't get the comparison.
And on
initially.
The flip side, Harden has an MVP, Drew Brees doesn't in terms of regular season, right? But the comparison of another caller, 409 number, made the great comparison in my mind. That's Dan Marino. Because Dan Marino made a finals like Never Harden won. Did with OKC, right? Early in his career. In year one, I believe it was, Marino made the Super Bowl, didn't win it, never got back again. Harden got to a finals with OKC and has yet to get back there. So I like that comparison. I think that's pretty spot on. Again, what I translate it to is the discussion I brought up for us to have, which was, how is LeBron getting more love than Harden the way both guys have started this season?
Boy, they're really stuck on that triple-double stat because he's officially... Yeah. He officially has a triple double on every team
in the league, right?
Well, I mean, that's obviously an amazing stat. We can't overlook that. That's an amazing thing to be able to do that against every team. But if you're that good, you would expect it to happen eventually, especially we're in such a triple double era, well, at least in terms of players getting
one. Does it surprise you Westbrook doesn't, because he went on the tear for the last couple of years?
I know.
And two, if he doesn't have it, don't you think he'll get it pretty soon, and then that stat kind of diminishes a little bit?
A little bit. I mean, right? he would only be one of two players. I mean, it'd be, you know, that's still an amazing thing to be a part of, because I don't see a lot of players doing that. James Harden is not necessarily a triple-double machine. He's a scoring machine.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing. So you got someone else, area code 850, wants legitimate question for you guys. What percentage of shot attempts for the Rockets team come from just, he said Wes Broom. I assume that's that's just a typo.
I don't know if it was intentional or not.
Westbrook and Harden. Okay. The majority of them. When James Harden needs 41 shots to score 49 points, he's taken a majority of the shots. He took almost as many as the rest of the team, right?
Right.
But I can say that about when they do play together. I'll say the same thing about Kawhi and Paul George. I'll say the same thing about LeBron and Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis had 30-some points last night. LeBron had a triple-double. Why or should I say Steven Sands, why? Because of the fact that, I mean, they shoot the ball. They're the two best players. So I believe that overall, yeah, they, if that you want to look at it as a negative, they take most of the shots. They also make most of the points.
Yeah, and LeBron, I think the reason why Stephen A. Smith is so stuck on LeBron James and the MVP thing is because that was his pick going into the season. And so he's definitely going to stick to it now because he's definitely a candidate right now in being one. But in terms of field goal shots attempted, I'm trying to look up who does the who shoots the most.
While you're looking that up, let me give you another reason why Stephen A. is so pro-LeBron. Because he needs him. Because he's been critical of him in the past. And these guys, as much as they don't want to admit it and just say, I'm just a writer covering the league, just the same way that Stephen A. had to go back and do the one-on-one with Kevin Durant and face the music about the criticism that pissed KD off, he doesn't want to piss LeBron off. So if he's critical of LeBron last year, but this year he comes back and says, I mean LeBron James. LeBron James is the best in the league. Now, if he comes back and says that, now LeBron's camp says, oh, Stephen A. is cool again.
Yeah, I there's definitely a political game to be played. I've seen it done, and I can see that, you know, with Stephen A. I've seen a lot of people, a lot of reporters try to get cool with players, and it almost inevitably comes out in their work because they just automatically become nicer.
Told you about this during the All-Star game. I had a conversation with a few All-Star players. When there was a party and Stephen A. was there and he was sitting like almost like on a throne and all the, it was almost like everybody came up to kiss the ring. And I just candidly said, why do you guys do that? And they said, because at the end of the day, he has the power of the pen. And what he says and does, and this was a time when he was, you know, he was just getting started with where he is now in terms of his rise to stardom with ESPN as well as being a writer. But they said, look, at the end of the day, if you have to pick a side, you play the game. Because if you don't do that, chances are he's going to be more critical of you and bust your chops in whether he's what he says and what he writes. But if you do that, chances are he's going to prop you up more and give you more love and attention in a positive way.
Yeah, and that's just the unfortunate nature. At some point, it comes and bites you in the butt, but it always comes out in the writing. I think it's better for you to like just be honest and transparent, but there is a game to be played, and that's why there's PR teams and stuff like that. But I don't know. I mean, look, he's definitely a candidate. We can't argue against that.
No question.
He's definitely up there. You definitely have to put Giannis up there. You definitely have to put James up there. All that is without question.
It's pretty
question.
Much those three guys.
And look, you still have what? How many games left in the season?
Yeah, it's early. But let's here's see. The thing. The other thing is all three teams, similar records. So don't tell me this about who has most wins and what the award means because the criteria changes every year. So we don't know. The biggest drawback for both Giannis and Harden is LeBron playing in L.A., and that is going to matter when it comes to ballots, voting, and any kind of electoral process.
You know I'm a believer in that. I've always talked about how the L.A. market, the New York market, they always have that advantage over the Houston market. It's always been like that. As big as we are as a city in terms of population, we just don't get the same respect. I know I've been told that I have rabbit ears, but I don't believe that's the case. They simply don't. Otherwise, we'd have more star players here in Houston.
I don't think you have ears anywhere close to Andrew Siciliano of the Red Zone channel.
Yeah, he's got big antennas.
He's got some speakers. But, you know, if people are talking about your ears, that just shows you that they're paying too much attention to you. But I will say this. 713 has a great comment, too, on my Westbrook comment. They said, love the show, guys. Westbrook only is the only triple-double he's missing. Makes sense against OKC. Because he played there. So I would assume that if he has a triple-double against OKC this year.
I think that's happening.
Now it's diminishing the LeBron record a little bit. Because he did it in a shorter period of time.
A little bit. But it's still going to be difficult. I think we're going into an era that's going to benefit players going forward. So I think it's going to diminish
eventually.
Sure,
but think about it. What are we in? You're 17 or 18 in LeBron. And that's how many years it took for him to get his against every team in the league. Westbrook, in probably half the time, if he gets one against OKC, has the same stat. So it diminishes it.
It does. I'm with you. I'm not necessarily arguing against it. And I think the more players that get included in that category, it's going to happen. James Harden, without a doubt, has the most field goals attempted. He averages 25 field goals attempted each game. Who's behind him, if you have to take a guess? And I'm not trying to test you just for fun. I'm just really wanting to. Who do you think is in the top five? Like, which names would you put in the top five in terms of field goals attempted?
Field goals attempted in the league this year?
Yes.
I would say... Wow, I mean...
Just name one more. And I'll tell you the five, which I'm actually kind of surprised.
Damian Lillard.
Not in there. Bradley Beal, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, Andrew Wiggins.
I can see that because a lot of guys are trying to do it all themselves.
And Wiggins has been out because of there's been a death in the family.
Oh, is that right?
And he's missed at least two games.
Kyrie's trying to do it all himself. Bradley Beal's trying to do it all himself. Right. So
it makes sense. That makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
All right. That's hour number one of the show. Still got 2 hours to go. We appreciate you being suspects, taking us along for the ride. So with the second hour of the show teed up, we're going to get ready to go. And if there's something you want to get on the show and join us, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter as we start the second stanza on ESPN 97.5. Never get the prize. I feel